Today we hear
about those who have dwelt in a land of deep darkness, who have lived in a land of deep darkness. And we know that Isaiah isn't just talking about the light here, as we know these are some of the shorter days of the year that are unfolding around us. But as we hear about the boots of tramping warriors, we know that there is another darkness being described. This darkness of oppression, darkness of suffering, darkness of injustice, darkness of conflict and bitterness in this world. This is the darkness Isaiah is describing for his time, and it is a darkness we are familiar with as well. We too are those who have walked in a land of darkness, who have resided here in a place that we know isn't quite as it should be, a place that has known injustice, oppression, and suffering. We may have experienced these forces ourselves. There may have been times that we have even inflicted pain or suffering on others. And yes, there are times that we are simply aware that these problems exist, but we are not directly impacted by them, or at least not in an immediate sense. And all of this tells us that we don't like the darkness. We wish it was not so. And we may wonder, where is that light that Isaiah has promised? We hear that we need to live differently. This is what we hear in Titus. That God comes to train us to renounce our impieties, our worldly passions, trains us so that we might live upright and godly lives. And of course, we need this training because we know that without it, we do not do these things. We do not live in right relationship with God and with others. We do not live and lead godly lives. If we did, there would be no darkness. We would not see the injustice, suffering, and oppression around us. So we know we need some training. But even with this training, Titus is aware that we still can't quite get there on our own. We need God's help 100%. We need the training God would offer to us to help us live better in this world. But in order for the darkness to truly be overcome, what we still need is God to show up. So he says that you might be trained as you await that day when God and our Savior Jesus Christ may come. This is what we need, the light of God breaking forth into the midst of darkness. And this is what we hear happening in our gospel reading today. The shepherds are accustomed to living in this land of darkness at night. They don't expect anything out of the ordinary to occur, and yet it does. Standing here in darkness, they are surrounded by the light of God. They hear this good news proclaimed, and their immediate response is sheer terror. It is terrifying to have God show up in powerful ways to shine light in the midst of a darkness that we have grown accustomed to. And we who are familiar with the story may wonder, well, why this fear from you, shepherds? Don't you know this is good news of great joy? Don't you know these angels are going to be telling you some great stuff this evening? Why so afraid? And yet we know this is our challenge as well. We too get accustomed to the darkness and are terrified when there are disruptions to what we have grown used to. Terrified when God's light would shine, even if it's the very light we know that we need. And there might even be times that we say, oh God, don't show up so strongly. Don't come with such force, with such power. Don't overwhelm us, Almighty God. And yet at the same time, we also wonder, God, why haven't you shown up sooner? We want the darkness to be addressed. We want you, God, to deal with all the problems of this world and make things as it should be. Why have you not come sooner? So we humans have these contradictory demands that we place upon God. Don't alarm us. Don't terrify us. But be here in powerful and significant ways to deal with our brokenness and our sin. Well, somehow, we hear that God is able to meet both of these contradictory demands this evening, because God comes in the flesh as a baby and enters in and is swaddled, placed in a manger. God is very approachable in Christ. Not only is a baby one who we are very fine going up to and seeing, but this baby is not located in a palace, is not locked away under some guard. This baby is lying in a manger where even shepherds in the middle of the night can come and see. And so we see that God has found a way to draw near to us without scaring us, without terrifying us. With God's almighty presence, God comes as a baby. And yet, God is still almighty and all-powerful. As we just sang in the song Silent Night, Jesus is Lord at his birth. As Isaiah foretells, this child is whom we are waiting for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. There is no qualification, it says, and we will wait for him to grow up before he receives the kingdom. No, it is now. And this child that we see, the kingdom of God drawing near, we see the peace, justice, and righteousness that God longs to bring unfolding. We see the light of the world piercing our darkness here, even in this moment. Even when Christ first enters, all of this is still certainly true. This is still God Almighty who can fully and permanently deal with our darkness from day one. Well, both are offered here. We just might miss it because it seems so innocuous, so pedestrian for God to show up as a baby. Which, of course, is why the lights shine on the shepherds, which is why these angels are singing their praises. Heaven cannot keep silent that God is up to something here in the world, that God is offering salvation, that for you, in this day, is born for you a Savior in the city of David, the Messiah, the one you have been waiting for. There is such joy and anticipation here that heaven cannot be contained as the angels sing out for what God has done. The shepherds, of course, go and see the truth of this statement. And last Sunday, our fourth Sunday of Advent, we had a tension between God's promises and the awareness that they would be fulfilled, but that they weren't quite here yet. Today, that tension is removed. The sign is given, and it is now. Go, and you will see this one lying in the manger. And they do. And they get to make known to Mary, to Joseph, these words that they have heard. And now Mary has another affirmation of who this child really is. She's heard it from Gabriel. She heard it from Elizabeth, her own family member, last Sunday. And now she hears it from strangers who are shepherds in a place where she hasn't traveled. All along, bearing witness, this is the light of the world who has come to shine in the midst of our darkness. And the shepherds go and continue to share this good news of what God has done. This is what we have drawn together tonight to experience as well in the midst of our darkness, where we can be overcome by it from time to time, where we can look and see only that which is dark. We have Christ showing up, piercing the darkness and the gloom of this world with the light of God's love and grace. And we get to see it. Here, alongside Mary and the shepherds, we can affirm that the light has come. Yes, the darkness is still there. It is still out there, and we can find it anytime we want to. But the light of the world still also shines forth in Christ. This is the salvation of God that has appeared. And we find Christ this evening here lying in this meal, swaddled in bread and wine, once more offered to us, to offer us the redemption that we need, to offer us the forgiveness of our sins, to share with us God's grace, goodness, mercy, and love. The salvation of God has appeared for all. And in this meal, we are drawn together. We encounter our wonderful counselor, our Prince of Peace, this one who brings about God's kingdom and ushers the light of God's love into us and into this world. And as we experience this gift, we, like the shepherds, then are sent forth to celebrate and share this wonderful news with those around us. We are sent forth in joy to let people know about the goodness of God that is made known to us, about this light of Christ and this love of God that has crashed into our present. And this is such a gift. When I was growing up, sometimes, mind you, we were allowed to open one present on Christmas Eve. And that was always a special time. We would always be very joyful that we got that one present. We always hoped it was a good one. Well, tonight, dear brothers and sisters, let me share with you that for sure, we are opening a present. This present from God that shares with us our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And let me assure you, it is a good one. This is the greatest present that can ever be received. It is the greatest present God has ever given to us. This one who pierces the darkness. This one who offers us life, light, and love. And for such a wonderful gift as this, we can only say in response, thanks be to God. Amen.